If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
For the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? 1501 episode of the 49ers Rush Podcast. And I'm excited. You know, I was waiting all day because this is the very first official injury report for the 49ers of the 2025 season. It just finished. Kyle Shanahan had just wrapped it up. So we're going to go through that. We have team captains. We're going to talk about some of the roster maneuvering that's taken place. We're going to be going over offensive play caller ranks in the NFL. I've got some additional bets for you. And we're going to talk about the age of the offensive line just a little bit, plus your questions. That's our kind of sounding board for today. So just putting the blueprint out there. I want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs and our winners yesterday. Man, mailed off two D'Amador Lenore jerseys yesterday. Love to see him go out. Hate to see him go. One of those things. But don't worry. I am very happy to be here. Man, hopefully we got another 1,500 plus episodes in us. And man, that would be awesome. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. Bowtie, Jack Cooley in the house. What's up? Thank you for the super chat. All pro juice team captain, second year in a row. So yeah, let's go out of order. When Jack speaks, I listen. The team captains, you're allowed to name eight. The 49ers named eight. Seven of the eight are the exact same as last year, including none other than Kyle Juszczyk, which, you know, I get that Kyle Juszczyk is a divisive kind of player because if you're a stat watcher, you don't love him. You know, he gets, what, 5 to 7 carries a year, you know, receptions, maybe 20 to 30 tops. Like, I get it. Like, it's not a sexy move. But for those that understand, like, Kyle Juszczyk is a pivotal player in 49ers history. Not this 49ers team. And that's kind of the definition of a captain. He was the very first free agent class to come in under Kyle Shanahan in 2017 and has to be given. That was one of the dude that changed the rudders of the ship. That righted the wrongs of the 49ers past. Like, it is absolutely, I don't like Kyle Juszczyk slander. I really, really don't. One, John Chapman played fullback. Like, okay, I want to be honest. Like, whatever. But, like, it's always the unsung hero. You're going to go out there and block all the time, and nobody's going to know who you are. And, like, you don't get the carries. You don't get whatever. You don't get paid. He's one of the top paid fullbacks in the NFL. He doesn't even make $5 million a year. Kickers are making more than fullbacks. This dude does all of the dirty work. The highest degree of difficulty on every single run blocking play. He has to go out there and do one of the staples that Kyle Shanahan is allowed to do with Juice is they split him out more than they do Christian McCaffrey. That dude is out there, you know, sometimes it's a decoy, but like he can run the routes. He can pass protect. If you've ever been to practice, you'll see him returning punts with the punt returners. He can snap. He can hold. He can do kickoffs. He can do punts. Like, he's just your utility guy. He's freaking awesome. And like people talk about like locker room and whatever else and kind of culture or like, look, you don't have culture, the 49ers culture that they have now without Kyle Juszczyk, period, period. Like taking pay cuts, could have went elsewhere, came back. Like he's here and he's going to be a decade 49er. And that means the world. If you've ever been into the 49ers locker room or seen pictures, they have a whole wall dedicated to decade 49ers. This dude is on the short list. You got one more year this year, the next year, which he signed through. So Jack Cooley, my man, it's funny because like, you know, I was typing out the captains and let me just go through the names real quick. Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Juszczyk, Brock Purdy, George Kittle, Trent Williams, Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, and then D'Amador Lenore is the only new addition. He replaced Debo, who's no longer with the team. Like, freaking hell yeah. Hell yeah. And yeah, I love seeing Kyle. Like, would you rather go seven captains and just not have juice there? Like, there are certain players, and I hate whenever I make these statements. I hate it. But like, there are certain players that if you ask somebody their opinion about them, you know if they watch tape and understand football and the complexities that are in. Kyle Juszczyk is one of them. Like defensively, like guys like Robert Beal. Who else? I've tried to like in the past it was Eric Armstead and George Kittle, but like now everybody understands what Kittle is. Like you have to be living under a rock to not understand. But like those guys are huge. And Juwan Jennings was one of those guys. Now everybody knows. So there are just certain players that don't get the shine, don't get the publicity, don't get the stats, the accolades. Kyle Juszczyk is a football guy, period. And I'm so thankful that he is our captain. That's what's up, man. Oh, what's up, man? Appreciate you, Cole. Glad you're here. Arizona, man. I can't wait. We're going to be partying with you guys soon. Every year we go out to Arizona. You guys know that. What's up, Shay? Appreciate the super chat. What's up, brother? Can you explain the hashtag CCs for the new crew? Thanks, man. Keep doing your thing. So the hashtag CCs, when we go live, this helps. It's a free way for everybody to kind of help the show. When it stands for Countdown Crew. Like, right, you hear my wife's voice. She's the one that introduces every single show. Like, you're now listening to the 49ers Rush. That's Jen Chapman. That's the wife. And so as that countdown's going on and I'm posting the show on all the different channels, you know, we're live on Instagram. We're live on Twitter. We're live, you know, on YouTube. We're live on Facebook. We're live freaking everywhere. So, like, I have to push go live on all those. So, as that countdown's going on, those are the hashtag CCs, the Countdown Crew. It helps the algorithm to suggest the video to more people. It helps us grow, and it's a free way. And, like, yesterday, we gave two giveaways. So, a lot of times, I try to do one at least once a month, but I need to step my game up. I need to step my game up, man. But I don't want to do one now because I'm about to go out of town and I don't want people to wait on it. But anyway, after the New Orleans game, we're going to do a couple more giveaways coming up. So that's the hashtag CC. Hashtag Countdown Crew is what it stands for. I love it. Right here, Monkey. Team captains need announced in a line dance like the new Purdy commercial. Man, that Purdy commercial. Like, I'm from the South, man. I spent my summers in Georgia. And we used to go to Cowboys and go line dancing so we could meet girls all the time. What's up, Brian Long, my man? Childhood best friend. We would make fake IDs so that we could get in. Wherever the girls go, that's where we were going to be. So, like, I can line dance. Let's go. That commercial was kind of goofy to me, but I love anybody getting paid. And a goofy commercial or not, I don't give a damn. Brock Purdy's making money. That's a good thing. And the longer Brock Purdy is the face of this team, the better, because you got a franchise quarterback. And most teams do not have that. Badger, how dare you? Jake Moody should be the sole team captain. He's that good. That's right. We are 4 days from kickoff. Jake Moody wears number 4. He was our, you know, countdown graphic. And, you know, 4 days, he wears jersey number 4. And that's also the word that he yells before he kicks every single time. 4! You never know where the damn ball is going when Jake Moody kicks. I kid. Right here, Kendrick Bourne isn't signing with the Commanders or 49ers, weighing the options. That means he wasn't going to play week one. I think that's what that means. I don't think he's healthy, past the physical, whatever, but I'm not really interested if you don't have an injury at all. I am really, really not. And I know somebody's going to get mad at me for talking about Kendrick Bourne. Like, Yeah, it's in the chat. We're going to talk about it. It's what it is. Badger. Kyle Juszczyk is underutilized in the pass game. I do agree there. He's always running around open in space. Well, he's the decoy slash release valve in the pass game. You don't have a lot of – you don't want Kyle Juszczyk being your number one or two read. He's if things break down, scramble drill, outlet pass. That's what he is. The dynamic whatever is just not really there. Yeah, you know, him throwing Minkah Fitzpatrick, that was two teams ago for Minkah Fitzpatrick. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, like it's not bad, but you don't want him to be your first or second read. He's third to, man, all hell breaks loose. Look for 44 and get him the ball. That's what it is. Kevin, what's up, man? Juice would have had a better career stats if Jimmy G could have hit a rail route. Oh my gosh. It was so frustrating because you go from Jimmy Garoppolo can't hit a rail route to Trey Lance can't hit a rail route to Brock Purdy was under throwing it a little bit, but man, that's picked up big time. But now you got Christian McCaffrey. He's running that. But you can tell Kevin is from Texas because the common term, people call it the wheel route, which is wrong. I used to always get mad at my players. That's a rail route. And if you have coached defense or if you coach in the state of Texas, because Texas kind of has made the rail route so famous. And the 49ers still some of their place. But yeah, the rail route is where, you know, he goes up the seam and keeps widening to the sidelines looking back. A wheel route is where you fake the out route and you flatten the curve, look at the quarterback, and then pivot and then look over the other shoulder. That's the wheel, which is commonly, I mean, you could do it with the back. And Kyle Juszczyk has run wheel routes. But I would say 90% of those routes are rail routes. Kevin, you are a real one. And I appreciate you, man. Play Juice more. Man, I think Kyle Juszczyk played too much last year. Like, there's just certain players, especially at this point in his career, it's that there's a window, 15 to 25 plays. Like, I don't want Kyle Juszczyk getting 30 to 40 snaps a game. I just don't want that. I think the effectiveness and the multiplicity that he offers whenever he goes out there in those certain packages, those 21 packages, those 22 packages, I think that's huge because teams got to prepare for that because they don't see it all the time. And again, like defensive coordinators, here's what happens. Shit, we're playing San Francisco this week. All right, well, we got to do 22. We got to do 21. We got to do 12. We got to do 23 package. We got to put time in. So in our install, in our group meetings, everybody, like I'm telling you, this is what the defensive coordinators are like, okay, O-line, we've got to practice a different goal line front, and we've got to work an extra team period in for run game fits and all these things with our motion package. Like, it just takes more time to prepare for because you're not used to it. What does the NFL do? 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers. That's the common whatever formation personnel grouping in the NFL. Not if you play the 49ers. Not if you play the Ravens. Those two teams do not do those two things very often.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Now, I played Prize Picks for over three seasons straight, and my favorite thing about it is just how easy it is. You pick more or less on 2-6 stat projections. If you get the picks right, you cash in. It's that easy. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 40-plus states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Some of the early week one things that you could put in on: Saquon Barkley, more or less than one rushing touchdown. Joe Burrow, more or less than 2.5 touchdowns. Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards. You want to focus on 49ers? Guess what? They've got it loaded on there. Brock Purdy, more than 12 or less than 12 rushing yards. Christian McCaffrey, 71.5 rushing yards, more or less. You pick two, you get it right, you get paid. Download the app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ERS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day.
Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I'm loving all these comments. Ooh, we got Mr. Joe Negative always, bro. Love you, Joe. Says Juice is washed. Would 100% disagree. Matt Dennis, Juice, best fullback in 49ers history. We did this show in the offseason. Who is the best 44 ever? And we debated Tom Rathman and Kyle Juszczyk back and forth. Stats Rathman, Super Bowls Rathman, awards, you know, Pro Bowls. You know, Tom Rathman was never even really a Pro Bowler. I want to make sure I get this right because I cannot. I love Tom Rathman. Like, I wore 44 because of him. But, yeah, Tom Rathman never even made the Pro Bowl. Like, so, like, it's different. I'm not saying Rathman's worse. I'm just saying, depending on what it is you are looking for in the valuation of which player is better and or worse, Tom Rathman won 2 Super Bowls, had way better stats. But it, I would say, is a better lead ISO blocker, not as good blocking in space, not as good on the routes, even though he had way more receptions and yards and all that kind of stuff. But no, you're taking Kyle Juszczyk's versatility. You're taking the strength and power of Rathman. You're taking the stats of Rathman. Obviously, 2 Super Bowls of Rathman, but Pro Bowls, All Pros, all those things. Yeah, that's a different beast, because when you look at Kyle Juszczyk, not only does he have 9 Pro Bowls, he's even got the first ever All Pro for a fullback once they kind of brought that in. So 9 Pro Bowls to 0, like, you're not going to convince anybody. If they think it's Kyle Juszczyk, it's Kyle Juszczyk. If you think it's Tom Rathman, it's Tom Rathman. And nobody's wrong. Nobody's wrong here. There is not a right or wrong answer. I freaking love them both, man. And like, dude. And shout out to my man, Rusty, one of the best guys. He's got a 44 jersey. And on the back, on the nameplate, it says Rathman-Juszczyk. And it's just like the coolest damn thing ever. And I go with them to all these games. We're really close friends. And, like, people just want to take pictures with it because it's just like, hey, he's huge. He's like 6'5", but just one of the best dudes ever. What's up, Matthew, man? Week 1, here we go. I freaking love it, man. So let's talk D'Amador Lenore. Shout out to him getting captain. I thought he should be captain. I've been hyping him up all offseason, saying this is going to be everybody's new favorite player. You're paying him. You know, he signed a underrated deal to stay with the team. He's the new cornerback 1. The 49ers chose him over Charvarius Ward. Charvarius Ward got pissed about it. Talked about how he kind of mailed it in a little bit last year. Had all this stuff offseason. Like, I love Charvarius Ward by far. I've watched a couple Colts pressers just so I could listen to him. I miss him. But the Niners made their choice. They wanted to go younger, tougher, and that was kind of in the words of Charvarius Ward himself. And yeah, I thought captain was well on the way. Had a little bit, you know, that stupid thing that happened with the cops and whatever else. If you want to go read about that, it's comical almost. And so I was a little bit worried, but no, this is the right thing to do. Reward the young pup. Reward the young pup. D'Amador Lenore. I might be wearing a Demo jersey. I might be wearing the Demo jersey week 1. Because if Demo balls out, Niners going to be damn close or winning the game, period. Oh, man. I freaking love that, man. Ah, I'm so pumped. Oscar, my man, about to take off from Houston back to L.A. Thanks for the great content. Thank you, man. Appreciate you, Oscar. Good man. Having a quiet player like Bosa as captain is questionable. Why not your first-rounder, Mikael Williams? You got to earn it. And, you know, Bosa is a team leader. He's not a rah-rah guy. And so I always used to say this to my coaches and to my players. Like, look, man, if you are disingenuous, like, you, if you're a captain, it's because of who you are. Don't change who you are. And this is, you know, I've again, this episode 1501, been doing this a little while. And people always ask me, like, hey, I want to start a podcast. And man, if you ever want to start a podcast or show, I've made so many terrible mistakes, you know, whatever, allow me, reach out to me, dude. I will help in whatever way, period. I recently helped somebody start a podcast over dealing with dementia with their parents and going through that process and all that stuff. And it's a great show. It's absolutely incredible. Alzheimer's, sorry, I don't think it's dementia, but whatever. I wish I knew the name of the show. It just started recently, but it's really good. A couple episodes in. Shout out to Joanne. But having said that, like, dude, as a coach, whenever you have players that are leaders, that are your better players on the team, eyes go to them. When the shit hits the fan, players gravitate. Their eyes gravitate to your stars. Nick Bosa's a star, period. Former defensive player of the year. Number two pick overall. Paid ridiculous amounts of money. Unbelievable work ethic. Like that's the thing. So I don't need everybody to be rah, 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 speech, speech, speech. And yeah, if somebody's giving a speech, I sure as hell don't want it to be Eeyore Bosa up there. Like, he gonna put everybody to sleep. But the work ethic, like, and I forget who was talking about, gosh, man, who was it that was talking about just how great Nick Bosa is and how he's the only player that works out five times a week during the season? Like, that dude just is all business all the time. And he's intellectual whenever it comes to football and the pass rush plan and all that stuff. Probably the best trait of Nick Bosa is offseason workouts and hand usage. It's not like an elite skill set talent where he has this amazing get off or he's 6'7 with, you know, 78-inch wingspan like Aldon Smith. No, no, no. It is work and it is intellect. He is always where he's supposed to be. That is a captain. Don't be the rah-rah guy. You have George Kittle. You have Fred Warner. Those are your rah-rah guys. Brock Purdy ain't rah-rah. Diamondora Lenore ain't rah-rah. Kyle Juszczyk ain't. Trent, like, again, Trent just shoulder shrugs and just says whatever it is, and everybody just nods and takes it as gospel because it's just like, this dude, he's been a captain. This is 6 years as a captain for the 49ers. Ooh, I want to get this right. I think that he was a captain for 9 years. Ugh, it might not be nine. 9 years even before that. Man, the 49ers put out like an official here. I'm going to get this right because I don't want to miss this. This is so Trent Williams is in his 6 year as captain for the 49ers. Yeah, he was a captain for 8 seasons with the Washington Redskins, they used to be called, right? Like, dude's been a captain for 14 seasons. Whatever, like, everybody just nods. Whatever Trent says, yep, that's just the way it is. And he's the biggest man on earth. Like, yeah, I've walked up on Trent Williams one time. He got out of a Phantom in front of the Marriott in Santa Clara. And I was just walking on the sideline going into the, or on the sidewalk going into the lobby. I was meeting some friends, and he pops up, and I'm just like, oh, like, he was waiting to get his car valeted. And he's like, hey, what's going on? Like, he said hey to me. He didn't know who I am or anything. I was like, oh, what's up, Trent? How are we feeling, man? He's like, we going to whip some ass tomorrow. And it was just like, hell yeah, man. Like, dude is just, he don't know me from it. There was nobody else around. It was just Red Cheeks and Trent Williams up there. And this dude wants to talk about kicking ass. You know what I mean? Like, how cool is that? That dude's huge. He's Silverback is appropriately named, to say the least. So, Now back to the captains. Again, you know, Fred Warner, rah-rah. The weird thing is you've got three defensive captains, five offensive captains. Now, I don't know of anybody else defensively that would be warrant that. I don't see anybody on the D-line. I don't see anybody in the linebacker. I don't see anybody. Maybe you could talk about like a Malik Mustafa, but he's not even out there. The injury hurts it. So maybe Renardo Green eventually could work into that. But like, you like having the different captains at the different levels because those are in your position rooms. So when they're watching film and you're in the tight end room, yeah, George Kittle's there. You're going to shut the hell up and listen to what he says. Running back room, CMC, you know, wide receiver room. Like, you've got this across the board. Like, that's what I like. I like that. So I'm all for the captains, man. I'm a big fan personally. Oh, Notorious GAV. We got more fullback love in here. Yes. 2 years of Captain Juice. We are truly blessed. I love it. I love it. I love it. You guys are the best. Yeah. Oh, what's up? We got more Georgia people. I was raised in Texas, but we moved around a lot. I don't want to get into my family history. I don't think I've ever talked about my family history too much on here. But needless to say, the Chapmans were on the move all the time. People were coming after us, and we had to stay away. But, yeah, I lived in Georgia, lived in Louisiana, lived in Texas. Those were predominantly Oklahoma, Arkansas. We bounced around a lot. But I consider myself from the South. I spent every summer in Georgia, and that is deep South. I don't consider Texas deep South, but it is South. Anyway, that's what it is. Now, let's get to the 49ers' first official injury report. I don't know if you remember me talking about this the last 2 days. I said, you have to pay attention to this one name on the injury report. It's going to tell us a lot. And sure enough, that damn name showed up.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Man, I feel bad. There's all these, like, awesome chats, you know, going on, talking about, you know, fullback talk. Like, I'm so proud of you guys. I love it. And look at it, you know, David Gill, how many fullbacks were playing back in the Rapid days? The problem was you had, what was his name? You had Daryl Moose Johnson, who got most of them. You had Larry Sanders, the receiving fullback. Like, you had a couple other guys that just kind of, like, took all those Pro Bowls and got all the notoriety, and Rathman never really did. But yeah, I'm not leaving out bar none, William Floyd. I don't think that he's in the conversation with Rathman and Juszczyk. But shoot, man, we had William Floyd, bar none, out at one of our parties last year in Arizona. It was awesome. And man, dude, I was cheesing big time. Like, I'm usually just like trying to organize everything, get everything set up. But when William Floyd walked in, like, and I mean, we bring people out. We got Frank Gore coming out this week and stuff, and I freaking love Frank Gore. But like, I've met Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman, Fred Warner, John Taylor, like a lot of these really awesome people. When I saw William Floyd, like, I instantaneously went back to 1994. Like, freaking bar none, baby. Like, yeah, like I the visor, like he had the white strap on the wrist, then the, like, that was just all decked out. Yeah, it was a DeLorean, you know what I mean? So, like, I'm not trying to leave out, you know, the great. I just don't consider, you know, in that one. I meant no ill regard whatsoever. I love the 49ers got rich history, whether it's linebackers, wide receivers, quarterbacks, fullbacks. Rich history, tight ends. Come on, man. Come on, man. Niners are just gold's our color. And we got freaking gold tradition and depth across the lines. Ah, man, I love it. Now, speaking of gold, Frank Gore going to come out and party with us this week. I'm so excited. Man, we are close. It is 3 days away, guys. We're going to be in Seattle. You know, anybody going to Seattle, you got to let them know. Go to the 49ers Rush Party. Go meet Frank Gore. Get an autograph. All those things. Kids are free to everything we do. We've got an all-inclusive premium tailgate. Everything you could ever want. One block from the stadium. It's going to be off the freaking chain. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be in New Orleans for my birthday weekend. Rent out a place on Bourbon Street. Man, I love my job. I absolutely love my job. We'll be at the Bourbon Street Drinkery Saturday before the game. And then we've got the tailgate of all tailgates in New Orleans. We're talking barbecue, King's Cake, Seafood Station, two blocks from the stadium, premium food, premium drinks, unlimited, kids free. We're underneath the clarinet mural. Oh, it's going to be great. Right there on Loyola Avenue, just two blocks away, man. Oh, we're going all out on that one. But anyway, yeah, so come party with us. Just go to TickPick, type in 49er Space Rush, or just click the link in this description of the video or podcast audio. That's the fastest way to get there. Whenever you check out, put in the promo code Niners, all capital, N-I-N-E-R-S, and you get 10 bucks off. So yeah, come party with us, man. It's going to be awesome. Dude, didn't even bring up Delanie Walker. He was one of my favorite players. I hated watching him go to the Titans. I hated that. I was so upset. Oh, I was so upset, man. Anyway, deep breath. Now, let's talk the injury report. I was pretty pissed. I'm not going to lie. The one player, and I told you guys this, pay attention to this. Intergros Matos. Like, he's been off on the side of practice all throughout training camp, all throughout mini camp. It's that same knee. It's gotten him three times now just since he's been with the Niners. And I told you, look, he practiced Monday for the first time. And I said, look, Tuesday they have off. Wednesday they will be back at practice. If Intergros Matos is not out there on Wednesday after a full day off, I'm telling you right now, he ain't going to be playing. Well, apparently only two players did not practice, Intergros Matos and Jordan Watkins. Jordan Watkins hasn't been practicing, but he's been off on the side. So I'm telling you right now, like, it was positive that he was out there, but this is par for course. He has not responded. His knee has not responded well to quality workouts. He looks great. I mean, he's huge. You see him out there working. You see him planning. You see him running. You see him just doing all things, both knees. He looks great. And, yeah, it just can't stay healthy. And the knee's not responding. And maybe the whole idea was, look, we're going to, you know, just slowly bring him back and have like one day on, 3 days off. Maybe the goal is by week three, we could have him out there. But you brought him off the pup. And so, like, that's the issue. You could have kept him on the pup. Like, that was a shock when the 53-man roster come out. He was on pup all year, all training camp. You could have kept him on there and then brought him off, and he would have counted as one of your eight. The Niners kind of are sandbagging those eight return spots. And so they're like, nope, we're going to bring him back. But I do not expect Intergros Matos to play this week. I do not expect Intergros Matos to play next week. Week three is kind of the circle date, that first day at home. So they're slow playing this. And, you know, I'm not in those doctor's room. I'm not talking to Eter. I don't know how it's responding. Shanahan said it's nothing new. But he ain't playing. Jordan Watkins, he ain't playing. Those two guys, I'm telling you right now, they're not playing week one. Now, limited, and again, with with Kyle Shanahan, like, this is the first official injury report. You have to report this. Non-practicing, limited. That's what it is. Juwan Jennings, Dominique Pooney, Jordan James. None of those are big news. None of those. Actually, the positive was Jordan James being out there. Like, it's just a finger. So, like, you're probably not throwing him passes. He's running routes and just not catching it. Like, stuff like that. But you got to let that finger heal from surgery. But, man, yeah, I all positive. No issues with Juwan Jennings. And they even said, do you expect him to play? He said, yes. Even put out there that they did do another MRI. And so, yeah, dude, you're not hurt. Get out there. Get out there. Ben says, I wonder if they'll cut Intergros Matos. If they were, they sure as hell missed that time. You should have kept Leonard Floyd and cut Intergros Matos. I was screaming that one from the mountaintops. But they went with the youth. And it just hasn't played out yet. It's hard to bet on somebody that's had three knee injuries in literally 14 months since he's joined the Niners. Not good. Not good. But the versatility, they like him to be that NASCAR package kick inside guy. Like, he was Mikael Williams before Mikael Williams. Mikael Williams definitely better, but Eter was a first-round pick too. So, like, damn good player. Pedigree's great. Knee just can't stay healthy. Just can't stay healthy. So they're just going to slow play it. And, yeah, Intergros Matos, Barch, Brittle. Yeah, I'm going to throw in the running back too, Grindo. Like, yeah, we've got guys that just through no point in their NFL career have stayed healthy. And I hope that happens. Kawachipta Floyd was irrelevant with Huff. I don't see Floyd as a speed guy. I mean, shoot, Floyd and Mikael Williams have about the same build. But the 49ers agree with you. And I am wrong there. So, yeah, the Niners said I was wrong. The injury report said I was right. Deal with that however you want to. Notorious Chappers, do you think we should do the boombox walkout this weekend in Seattle? Yeah, if that's what your locker room wants to do, if that's what Trent wants to do, like, who's going to take his spot? Demo? Why not let Demo do it? Like, I would love that. Whatever it is that the players want, like, I am all for just empowering that, you know? And so, like, whatever it is that got to get you to that point. And the boombox thing is more for the fans, and it's probably for like 15 players that love that. The rest of the players just wait for it to finish and they come out the tunnel after that. Like, it's not for everybody. And like, I would go through that. Like, you know, when we would do our walkthrough, like, we would practice everything. Like, we would go through the whole entire damn day. Okay. Get out of class. You go straight here. You've got 10 minutes from the end of class to get to here. We got to get dressed for the pep rally. We got to be on the bus. We're going to eat breakfast at this time. We're going to eat lunch here. Our pregame meal is at this time. We're focusing on carbs and protein and water. We're trying to get these things in there. We are not eating chips. We are not eating, like, you go through every damn thing. All right. You've got your players. So, Nick, you always got to go pee after warmups. So when are you going to go? Like, you handle every single question that you're going through, including the walkthrough, including the warmup. This is where the balls are going to be when you come out. We're going to go through our form tackling drills here. We're going to do team. We're going to run 14 plays here. We're going to go here. We're going to do our national anthem this way. This is the way we're going to stand. And so it's just, look, you know what's happening before it happens, including how you are coming out of that tunnel. You're on the road. It's a division game. You set the damn tone. Every single question needs to be answered. And so I'm totally cool. I'm cool with it. Like, whatever, it makes people happy. And so I'm all for that. The boombox is ours. Couldn't have said it better. Yeah, we started that crap. And then everybody else starts doing it, but that's the NFL. That's kind of the way it goes. Yeah, but yeah, I'm just like, let's go. Badge says, what's wrong with chips? Yeah, nothing. It just, man, can't eat a bag, you know, a gallon thing of hot fries. That was like the thing. Like, the kids just crushed hot fries all the time. And I'm just like, dude, that is, whatever. I don't want to go down this road. Chris, my man, he says, we got our tickets to our first 49ers Rush road trip. I love it. Come from Canton, Texas. I love it. Super stoked. Meet all the faithful in New Orleans. Say happy birthday, John. Man, Chris, cannot wait, man. Cannot wait. Chris Ward. That was the name of my high school quarterback whenever I played at Castleberry. Check that out. I doubt it's the same Chris Ward. You would have recognized me. Anyway, I stepped down. So, not too concerned with Jennings, Pooney, or James. Juwan's playing. Dominique Pooney's playing. Jordan James might be a healthy scratch. Healthy, but you have to have your six, you know, guys that don't dress. Etur Gross Models 1, Jordan Watkins 2, Jordan James 3, Nick Sakel 4. Maybe one of the safeties. Well, you cut one of the safeties. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's for Jordan James. You're just going to wait because you don't need more running backs for week one. If Isaac Grando gets hurt again or something like that, then you would need that. But you've got Christian McCaffrey. You've got Brian Robinson. You have Isaac Grando. You have Kyle Juszczyk. That's four. Like, you're good there. So until that finger is 100% and he's, you know, practicing and doing all that stuff, yeah, we'll see there. Yeah, Zakel's not on the active roster. Sorry, correct. That is correct. Drew Moss probably going to be a healthy scratch as well. But we'll see. We got to see how that goes. I actually wouldn't be shocked if Zakel is promoted and maybe, I don't know. We're going to have to see how it goes. Now, also on the roster front, we talked about this right before the show, and then we got news that, you know, Russell Gage and MVS, who I expect to be the number three because he runs those vertical routes, right after we finished the show with Wayne, the news comes out that Russell Gage has been released. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling has been promoted. Why? It's a gentleman's agreement. This is what Shanahan does with these, you know, veteran qualified players that don't go through waivers. He says, look, we'll bring you back. We'll promote you. We'll give you a bigger roster bonus, whatever. We'll make it worth your while, but we've got to do this. This was a promise that was probably made to MVS to get him here. And I think it's a way to keep both. Shanahan was asked, why would you do this? And he said, quote, this is Kyle Shanahan, a lot of layers to that move, end quote, doing his best donkey from Shrek. You know what else got layers? Parfait. Everybody liked parfait. anyway, sorry. I apologize for that movement, but I expect MVS or Russell Gage to be the wide receiver three. How many 11 personnel sets where you're going to have three wide receivers out there? I don't know, but in the Shanahan scheme, which is what we're going to kind of move and talk about next. In the Shanahan scheme, you have to have a vertical threat or a clear out runner. Even if you're not the threat, you've got to occupy the safety. That opens up the middle intermediate passing game. And, you know, the drift concept is Shanahan 101. You've got an outside wide receiver that lines up tight. He runs inside of the cornerback and angles at the nearest safety to occupy the safety on that deep route. And the funny thing is about the drift route, you never even see the wide receiver look back to the quarterback. They don't throw it. They've never thrown it. Not in Washington, not in Atlanta, not in Houston, not in Cleveland, not in San Francisco. It just does not. But the Debo route, now the Ricky Pearsall route, which I'm super excited about, runs that 12-yard curl right behind those linebackers, and it just leaves this wide-open spot available. Brock Purdy throws it as well as anybody. It's all those throws where it's the Juwan Jennings amazing catch in the playoffs or the Super Bowl where he just fits it right in between those two linebackers in that tight little window. That's the drift concept. And so Marquez Valdes-Scantling is better for that role than Russell Gage. Russell Gage has the versatility and can run better routes all across the board, except if it is a deep concept route. That is what Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Now, I'm not saying MVS isn't going to be targeted. I'm just saying it completely fits with the scheme that Kyle Shanahan wants to do in the passing game, because you got to occupy two DBs. You occupy the corner, has to respect you outside leverage, and then the safety has to respect the deep middle third in today's NFL. It's what it is. And so that's why I think MVS is going to be out there for a lot of those passing downs. But he's learning. And Shanahan even talked about this. You know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling was with Kubiak for the second half of the season down in New Orleans last year. Same terminology, same offense, same XYZ, same all that stuff. Same passing tree, same run blocking assignment, same motions. He was up in Seattle all throughout minicamp and training camp till the Niners got him. It's been a little bit of a crash course because it is a little bit different, but it's the same language. It's the same language. And so I think that that's a big deal. Right here, more punt returner, Garendo kickoff returner. I want more to be the number one returner for both, but you do have two kickoff returners. I'm cool with Garendo being back there. He's got to do something. He's got to. I think Jordan Watkins is who I would prefer to be the number two, but he ain't healthy. Jacob Cowing, I prefer. He ain't healthy. So, yeah, put Garendo back there. I'm cool with that. I'd like Jordan James back there, but with his finger, again, I think he's going to be one of the scratched players. So we'll see there. Pluffy, what's up, man? He says, who do you think will be a trade candidate at the trading deadline to come to the Niners? Two things you got to watch for. Number one, you got to find teams that are about to reset, teams that are not going to be making the playoffs, right? So you're talking Cleveland Browns, you're talking Saints, who are playing. We're playing both those teams. And those bottom of the roster type, bottom of the chamber teams that are not going to be making the playoffs. Two, you've got to find expiring contracts. 49ers still are not going to go spending heavy. So you're looking for players in the fourth year of their rookie deal, players on the expiring last year of their second or third contract deal. And you're going to talk to the Saints or the Browns or whatever team's struggling to take on part of that salary. Very similar to what you did with Brian Robinson. Very similar. So it's twofold. You got to find teams not in the playoff hunt, and you got to find contracts that are expiring. That is very important. That think about the Chase Young trade, right? Washington, they're out of it. You offer up a third round comp pick. You get him. He plays for the thing the rest of that year. Then he goes signs. You get a fourth round back. It's smart. Helps your compensation pick formula. Doesn't cost you much. All those things. It's what the 49ers did the same thing with the wide receiver. He was the first one. Emmanuel Sanders. Remember when they did that? Broncos weren't in it. You got him for cheap. I think he gave up like a fifth, and he plays, got you to the Super Bowl. You tried to keep him, but he wanted more money. He goes to the Saints. You get a comp pick. It's just the way the Niners do things. So it's going to be the same thing. Arden Key. Yep. Same thing. Same thing. Same thing. It's just what they do. So we'll get through those. Now, I want to talk some Kyle Shanahan. So the next two segments, we're going to talk Kyle Shanahan, play caller. Not head coach, play caller. And a couple more bets. I've been going through week one. I'm going to share a couple of those with you. And if you bet anything, anytime, anywhere, you know you got to use my bookie. You know that one guy in the group chat who had a five-leg parlay week one and just wouldn't shut up about it for the rest of the season? That could be you.
MyBookie makes it super easy to get into the action. College football, NFL, super contests, survivor pools, casino, blackjack, whatever it is you want, they got it. All the spreads, player props, and in-game lines you could want all under one roof. And if you're new to MyBookie, use our code 49ERS, 49ERS, up to $500 is fully covered. You make your play. Let's say it doesn't hit. You get all of it right back up to $500 when you opt in using your bet back bonus, and you get it back. It's just what it is. Comes with a one-time rollover if you use it. Now, no better time to jump in, no better place to play. Plus, we have all of our weekly bets and season bets up on our Patreon and the49ersrush.com. So if you don't know how to get started, we've got it made for you. We show you what we bet. We show you what's out there, and we will cover that with you. It's going to be a good time. So football's back. Let's make some money with MyBookie, promo code 49ERS. Let's go. All right, we'll post all of our bets for week one, probably Friday. I want to see how the injury reports shake out for both teams, but it's not looking like there's a lot of like big up in the air, you know, questionable injuries. So might come out a little bit early. I don't fly out to early Saturday morning, like 5 a.m. But anyway, two of my favorite bets so far for week one, I got to get in on the Thursday night betting. I'm taking a two team teaser. Now stay with me on this. A teaser is where both these things have to happen in order to get paid, like a parlay, but you're betting with Vegas, not against them. And so you get additional points. So I'm taking the Cowboys over the Eagles, but it's plus 15.5. It's a division game. It's early. I don't think the Cowboys are good, but I think that they got a lot to prove. And Dak is the ultimate trash time quarterback. So even if they fall down 21, 22 points, they're going to score late in the fourth quarter whenever it doesn't matter. So I'm taking the Cowboys, get 15.5 points. So they just got to keep it within a touchdown and or two touchdowns. And they could lose by 14 and still get paid. And then I'm taking the Niners plus 4.5. So Cowboys can't lose by more than 15, and Niners could lose and we still get paid. But I do think the Niners are going to win plus 4.5 against Seattle. And then again, like this is another philosophy thing. Bet the unders early. Defenses are always ahead. Takes a while for the offenses to get in sync, all those things. So the top 3 to 4 games that have the largest over under, I'm telling you right now, I am taking the under almost across the board. And so, like, you know, you look at, like, the Bills and Ravens, I'm taking under 50.5 points. I'm not saying they won't, but both those teams like to run the ball. Both those teams have quality defenses. Like, I understand everybody wants fireworks, but I'm telling you, bet the unders early. You're not going to be disappointed. You're not going to be disappointed. So just a couple bets. I'll place all the bets up on Patreon and the 49ers Rush. That's available to the Jerry Rice tier and up. We bet every single week, and I'll post every single bets for the whole year. That's what it is. And again, like I'm not rooting for the Cowboys. I hate the Cowboys more than anybody. But I do think a division game, week one, all eyes on them. You know, you're playing whatever. I don't think that they lose by 2+ touchdowns. I could be wrong, and I won't be mad if I'm wrong. But yeah, anyway, I only put 10 bucks on there, so that's what it is. But yeah, Dak's the garbage time king. I'm telling you right now, that's going to happen. So Ted Wynn does great work for The Athletic. Athletic's awesome. They don't pay me to say that. I pay subscription service just because I think they do great work there. He interviewed 6 NFL defensive coordinators, and I alluded to this yesterday on the show with Wayne. 6 NFL DCs currently and 6 assistant defensive coaches currently. Now, I don't know who they are or whatever else. But he had all of them rank their top 10 defensive or offensive play callers, right? So there's only 32. They ranked all top 10. And Andy Reid came in 4th. Ben Johnson came in 3rd. McVay came in 2nd. And sure enough, Kyle Shanahan, I say it all the time when people are like, fire Shanahan, fire. Dude, he's the best play caller. When he's your head coach, you ensure quality offensive play, quality quarterback play, and defensive coordinators will be on the heels all the time. He was ranked number 1. Ranked number 1. And yeah, I get it. Hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. I know. The way that Kyle Shanahan manipulates defenses, it's killer. It's killer. It is absolutely killer. And Ben, you know, you commented this earlier. All the alignments, motions, Shanahan factor. DCs have to hate us. And I love it. And it's true.
And it, that was the reason. You remember when Richard Sherman came to the 49ers after he was a free agent? He said two reasons. One, Jimmy Garoppolo, which is funny now. Two, Kyle Shanahan. Like, he's a defensive player, but he's like, Shanahan's going to be involved in winning all the time. And he talked about how they watched tape on this one game, and they were like, look, they always do this on this route concept. They always do this on this route concept. And so they said, we're going to overplay it. And so they ran it once. The 49ers ran against the Seahawks once in the first quarter, and they overplayed it. It was just a simple flag concept, right, where you basically act like you run a post, then you post back out, post corner, flag, whatever you want to call it. Lots of terminology based on how you draw your tree, whatever. And so in the first quarter, you know, Richard Sherman said, yeah, we overplayed it. And then in the third quarter, right after halftime, it was like the second or third play. It was the exact same formation, exact same motion. We knew what was coming. We overplayed it again. But instead, they just changed that one route, which was the tight end, and they run the post. He faked the corner, then went back to the post. Never been on tape before. Hit a touchdown. It was huge. And they go back to the sidelines. They're like, what the hell are we supposed to do? Kyle Shanahan got us. He got us. Like, Shanahan is a guy. And here are the quotes that were put in the article. They talked about how Shanahan knows the defensive rules better than any offensive play caller. He knows exactly where the linebackers are supposed to drop. And that's what Kyle Shanahan does better than anybody, is exploit poor linebacker play. And again, when you look at the Shanahan-McVay head-to-heads, I think that is the number one reason why Shanahan has had so much success against McVay is, dude, if you have poor coverage linebackers, he's going to eat your damn lunch. Bobby Wagner has been chased out of how many NFC West teams because of Kyle Shanahan? Like, literally, Seahawks got rid of him, then Rams got him. Like, we can't do this. So they sent him back to Seattle, and they're like, no, we can't do this. So then he goes to the Commanders. And Bobby Wagner's still amazing against the run. Absolutely incredible. But you watch any game Bobby Wagner plays against the 49ers, you're talking 8 out of the first 10 plays go right at him every damn time. And exploit the shit out of him. Sorry, man. I've cussed too much today. I'm sorry. I've been listening to a lot of music today. But, like, Shanahan knows. He's going to find your weakness. Does Shanahan have issues? And, yeah, are there reasons to complain about his play calling? Yes, 100%. But also, what this dude can do to manipulate linebackers and coverage schemes and fit lanes and all that stuff is such a headache. Oh, my man, Michael Pickle. What's up, brother? Appreciate the super chat. Hashtag CCE says, game day is almost here. So excited. John, thanks for helping us get through the offseason with amazing content. Man, I love it. Michael Pickle, great dude. We went to college together. I didn't even know he was a Niner fan back then. He was a year before me. Great dude. Now, the next quote from the Ted Wynn article was how he attacks defensive players' weaknesses better than anyone, which I just talked about. Like, you have to understand Shanahan can manipulate you and do exactly what he wants to do. Does it work all the time? It does not. But the explosives, even last year when stuff hit the fan, you still had one of the largest explosive play rates in the NFL. Like, the 49ers offense, like, last year was awful. It was just really, really bad the way all things went down. You know, no Trent Williams, no Christian McCaffrey, no Brandon Ayuk, none of this, none of that, none of this, none of that. You still had the fourth most offensive yards, fourth most. You had the fourth best passing yards per attempt, which is a Shanahan staple. Like, he measures how that goes. You had the fourth most passing yards. You have the seventh best yards per rush attempt. And who was running? Yeah, Jordan Mason. CMC for a little while, but man, you were finishing the year with Patrick Taylor Jr. back there as a running back. Still, top seven. Like, what they were able to do. Now, were there deficiencies in the red zone? Yes. Yeah, that's been an issue. Not every year, but it was last year. Oh, man. I get pumped up whenever I talk about Shanahan. And a lot of it is just kind of reactive. Like, the people that are like, oh, you got to fire Shanahan. Like, I completely disagree with them. But I'm just like, why? And they always say the same thing. Well, I don't think he can win the big one. And I'm like, the dude's 8-4 in the playoffs. He's 8-4. Like, he's won 8 big ones. Playoff wins are everything. Now, I get the Super Bowl, but it's not like, I don't know, man. You went to overtime, and the defense gave up 21 points in the fourth quarter the first time you went to the Super Bowl. Like, the ball's got to bounce your way. Sometimes things just got to go your way. It didn't go that way. But, like, this idea, again, and the funniest thing is, those same damn people always say, well, look at Andy Reid. Gee, Andy Reid didn't win the Super Bowl for 20 years, and he never won the Super Bowl until he had the best quarterback in the NFL. Like, no, get that I almost cussed again. Get that the hell out of here. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Like, you're insane. You are insane. Well, who would you rather have? Well, I don't know. Like, you got to have somebody. Somebody, because he can't do it. Tell me why. Well, injured players. Dude, get the hell out of here. What are you talking about? Now, I'll have this conversation, and I'll be much more respectful than I am right now. But I'm just like, what the hell, man? Like, if you just want to complain, that's cool. Like, just say, Shanahan kind of gets on my nerves, and so that's why I don't like him. Like, that's the statement. I think Shanahan's too pompous. All right. So you don't like him because he's too pompous. Cool. Why is Shanahan so cocky? Why? Well, when you ask defensive coordinators in the league who they don't want to play against, and they all say Kyle Shanahan, what's that tell you? What does that tell you? Like, come on, man. Like, it's easy just to post fire Shanahan or whatever else. Have a conversation. Let's put some words. Use your words, little one. Let's figure this out. And a lot of that stuff just comes from people that are just kind of clickbait, whatever, and that's what they're going to put out there all the time, and that's okay. I hope they make all the money in the world. Like, those people need to exist. Sad that they make as much money as they do, but I love people getting paid, even if they're douchebags. Like, I love getting paid. The fact I cannot stand Stephen A. Smith, I think he is horrible, and anytime I see him or hear his name or even ESPN to this day, I cringe. I love that he's getting paid, though. I love that he's got generational wealth. Dude went to school for like hair and fashion, I think. Like, dude, way to go, man. Like, awesome. I don't want to watch it. I ain't going to support it. But at the same time, dude, hats off to you. I want people to make money. But, like, don't ever go to Stephen A. Smith to learn anything about anything. You go to people like that for emotion and to laugh and to get your emotions pumped up. You ain't learning anything. They don't watch the games. They don't watch film. And whenever I say they, like, you can list all the people on all those channels. They don't watch. You've seen Stephen A. Smith playing freaking Blockbuster or whatever, or Bubble, whatever. Like, during the freaking NBA conference finals. Like, they don't even, like, interns and AI write half of their takes. What's going to piss people off? Colin Cowherd does not watch football at all. Like, at all. At all. But he'll give you all these takes that he didn't write, and he'll stand by them, and people will say, oh, John, did you see what Colin Cowherd said about Brock Purdy? And I'll be like, no, I don't care. I know what Colin Cowherd's daughter said about Trey Lance, though. I probably should have said that. That's okay. That's okay. I don't know, man. Like, so at the end of the day, what do I do? And so I always go back to this. I am a football person, and I try to make my takes based on football and tape and my coaching background. That's what I try to do. People get upset by it. And whenever I critique players that have really bad play, people get mad, really mad. And they come at me. And all those people that come at me, and again, death threats, family, people sending me pictures of my kid and finding my address online and DMing me, tell me, watch your back and stuff. Why? Because I put a football take out there on a player that I guess that they like, that other people have not criticized. I've never said, you know, that dude's horrible and should be fired. I don't put those takes out there. But, like, whenever you address things with a football perspective that a lot of other people don't like, man, people get angry. People get angry. So I don't know. I don't even know how we got here. But I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Monkey, I actually like Kyle's pompous attitude most of the time. I do too. Let me see. One of my favorite, like, clips of all time right here.
Quarterbacks. I understand. I don't think you understand.
Oh, that's so good. All right, here we go.
That makes no sense. I'm sorry.
That makes no sense. I'm sorry. Like, again, there are some amazing reporters, beat reporters in that room that do a damn good job, that bring information and content to fans, and they do their damn job. There's some absolute morons that should not be allowed ever in a press conference or on a football field ever again, and have been doing it for a long time and do not educate themselves or anybody else, and they ask questions about smelling salts and whatever, and it's just like, dude, you've got 90 people fighting for their lives out here, and you want to talk about smelling salts? Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Ah, anyway, sorry. Back to Monkey's comment. He says, like a corner who is full of himself and believe they know that they are great, as and that's what they do. Can't be great if you don't believe you are. Yes. They're like, dude, I'm in with you on that right here. Notorious GAV. Colin was right about Trey Lance, though. Yeah, that's true. Even a broke clock is right twice a day. And they'll tell you that all the time. I was Chris Sims, right? Which he is a football guy and he actually does watch stuff, but that dude is just. Him being around Florio completely just whatever. Do with that whatever you will. But, yeah, he'll be like, oh, well, I was right about Lamar Jackson. But then he goes out there and puts, who is the Texas A&M? Kyle Monk, right? Kyle Monk? Is that his name? Kyle Mond as, like, the number one quarterback. Like, they put those spicy takes out there 20 times, and when they're right once, that and everybody will defend him. Like, oh, well, he was right about that. I'm not saying that's what you were doing. Trey Lance was bad. Trey Lance is bad. And that is correct take. That is correct take. Speaking of bad, my friend David Wallner, how we doing? The Cowboys fan. Hey, do you use smelling salts? Go Cowboys, number one. I texted you, David, whenever the trade happened, and you did not respond to me, my friend. My Cowboys friend, I went to you, and you left me in your darkest hour. Not cool, bro. But I love you, man. You know I love you. We're over here talking about coaches, and Dave comes in here with Brian Schneider. Who's his coach, right? Who's the Cowboys head coach? You got to be kidding me. Hey, another Nepo baby, but still, Brian Schottenheimer? No. Now, another thing, and again, let's balance. I did the pro Shanahan. Definitely one of the best offensive play callers, if not the best. Negative Shanahan and nuanced takes. I believe in that. The 49ers, you know, they came out and they ranked each NFL offensive line based on age, right? So you add up all five starters' age and oldest to youngest. The 49ers have the oldest in the NFL. Now, a lot of that is Trent Williams, who is a team captain, first ballot Hall of Famer. If he gets one more Pro Bowl, he breaks the record all time, Trent Williams, for Pro Bowls by an offensive tackle ever. 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 That's crazy. Oh, get it, Trent. He's getting it. Anyway, you add up the entire offensive line's age. 151 is the combined age, so 30 with a little extra gravy average. Trent Williams, 37. Jake Brindle, 32. Colton McKivitz, 29. Ben Bartsch, 27. Dominique Pooney, 25. Shout out to Steph Sanchez, 49 Carats Podcast. Her post on Twitter is where I saw that, so wanted to give her credit. She's the best. I love Steph. Anyway, so this is what you get. This is what you get when you don't draft tackles and centers. Centers, not centers. Whatever. I didn't mean to say that. But centers. I'm from the South. We don't say things correctly. It ain't right. Now, you have not drafted an offensive tackle. Do you guys know who the last offensive tackle we drafted was? Not somebody who played offensive tackle. I'm talking about draft a player to be an offensive tackle. He's no longer on the team. It was Jalen Moore. Jalen Moore was the last offensive tackle that we drafted, and we even made him play guard. He didn't play tackle until he fell at guard and then became that out there. That was 2021. That's 4 years. You've gone four straight drafts. 22, 23, 24, 25, four straight drafts without drafting one offensive tackle. That is crazy to me. The only team in the NFL. Now, to make it even worse, Do you guys know who the last center that the 49ers drafted was? The last center, the guy that snaps the ball between his legs. Now, keep in mind, we have had elite center drafts for about 7 straight years. Niners not even touching them. And I understand Shanahan wants somebody that understands football and he doesn't want a rookie there. And I get that. And I don't have a problem with that. But you can draft a center and let them learn for 2 to 3 years and then step into that role. You're allowed to do that. So even if you're like, well, you can't have a rookie center, why not draft and develop? Why not? I just don't understand. No, nobody said the correct center, the last center the Niners drafted. It hasn't been, you haven't drafted one center since Kyle Shanahan showed up. Not one. You got to go all the way back to 2014. It's been a decade. That's 3 coaches. And you ain't drafted one center. It was Marcus Martin. You remember out of USC? I remember. That's bonkers. That's crazy. You haven't drafted a center since Marcus Martin? Ugh, Cody Wallace, 2008. I like it. Jesse Cipolla. Jesse Cipolla is the best. Kingston didn't play center. He never took snaps for us. I like that you have Matt Hennessy. I like that you have the undrafted free agent Drake Nugent on the practice squad. I like that you tried to figure out something with Nick Sakel, but he was just too bad. I'm hoping Drew Moss gets some work in there as well. And I understand Kyle doesn't trust centers because they call the protection. And that's a negative in Kyle's scheme, if you ask me. But again, what does make Kyle good? Quarterback friendly, baby. Quarterback friendly. Man. Oldest offensive line. You haven't drafted a center in 4 drafts. You haven't drafted a center in 11 consecutive drafts. You haven't drafted a tackle in 4. Whew. Ugh. Gosh, man. Anyway, we got an old O-line. This has been a fun show. The first official injury report is out. We're going to have a lot more coming. But, man, this was fun. You guys are incredible. And I am so thankful that I got to spend time with you today. Tomorrow we got Coach Approach. I got an appearance on KMBR coming. I don't know if it's tomorrow, Friday, or Saturday. I think we're going to pre-record it tomorrow, but that's going to play later. Again, if you're going, you know anybody that's going to Seattle this week, put the word out. Frank Gore is going to be partying with us. Come say what's up. Tickets are available on the Tick Pick app. Just search 49ers Rush, or you can click the link in the description of this video or podcast. It's also linked on Instagram and our Twitter. That is our place of business there. But yeah, you guys are awesome. Incredible. Love y'all. Y'all are not injured. Y'all coming at us hot, and I love it. Anyway, till next time, stay strong, faithful.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.